The following is a reading from Isaiah 43, verses 1, 2, 5 through 7. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, who I formed and made. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. Thanks be to God.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, you know. But through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near, and the day is past and gone. Guide my feet, oh my hand, oh Lord, guide my feet to this land. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me home. Take my hand, precious. and lead me home.
And all God's people said amen.
Amen.
This morning, we continue our summer sermon series, Crossflix, Discovering Faith in Film. During these summer months, we're looking at films from all genres, classic, documentary, award-winning, animated, and discovering where faith intersects with film. This series gives us the opportunity to introduce the concept of finding faith and spirituality in secular society to our families and friends who may not be particularly religious or who have a suspicion of organized religion, but are open to the values of faith that we embody here in this congregation. Now, next week, I'll be preaching on the film Zootopia, which you can view at our Harmony Toluca Lake campus this Wednesday at 7. And then we will be having a talk back with two of our own church family, Derek Nelson and Amy Astley, who are both part of Walt Disney Animation. So we're excited for that. For today, our film won the Academy Award for Best Picture. How many of you have seen Moonlight? It's based on Terrell Alvin McCraney's play In Moonlight, Black Boys Look Blue. And the film is the impassioned story of a young African-American boy, Chiron, growing up in a drug and gang-plagued Miami neighborhood. And Chiron's story is told in three acts. In the first third of the film, he is 9 years old. He is small. He is slight, and he's different. One day, when he is fleeing bullies, Chiron is rescued by a drug dealer named Juan, and they develop a foundational bond.
Let me tell you something, man. There are black people everywhere. Remember that, okay? No place you can go in the world ain't got no black people. We was the first on this planet. I've been here a long time. And I'm from Cuba. A lot of black folks in Cuba. You wouldn't know that from being here, though. I was a wild little shorty, man. Just like you, run around with no shoes on, the moon was out. This one time, I run by this old lady. I was running, hollering, cutting a fool, boy. This old lady, she stopped me. She said, running around, catching a boy that light. In Moonlight, black boys look blue. You blue. That's what I gonna call you. Blue.
Say your name, Blue.
Nah. At some point, you gotta decide for yourself who you gonna be. Can't let nobody make that decision for you.
Either as simply an innate paternal action or perhaps a desire for redemption, or both, Juan truly cares for Little, who he's called in this first act. He tries to teach Little to be his own person, to not allow others to define him or to make decisions for him, including his own mother, whom we see throughout the film on a deep downward spiral with crack that Seemingly, neither of them can stop. So Little seeks refuge with Juan and his partner, Teresa. And in doing so, he learns to connect the dots.
What's a...
A word used to make gay people feel bad.
My?
No. No. You could be gay, but you ain't gotta let nobody call you no.
How do I know?
Just do. I think.
You know when you know.
Hey. You gotta know right now. All right? Not yet.
Do you sell drugs?
Yeah.
And my mom. She do drugs, right?
For me, that was one of the most powerful scenes in the film. There are about 10 sermons that could come from this film, and I mean that seriously, but for today, I want us to look at how Moonlight demonstrates the importance of what it means to be named and what our name says about our identity. In the first act, Chiron is called Little, even though he was dealing with a big, overwhelming life and big life issues, including a growing awareness of his sexual orientation and not knowing how to deal with the bullies around him who called him soft, and that was the only nice thing they called him. Other names were the most disgusting that we can imagine. And then we have Juan, who we will name as a drug dealer, who against stereotype both reveals and discovers his capacity for selfless love, something we don't associate with someone who would be dealing on the street. But yet Juan sees, he truly sees that he cares for Little. One online critic said he cradles him in warm ocean waves, offering him safety and calms for storms yet to come. And yet, when we come full circle, he is the one responsible for hooking Paula, Chiron's biological mother, on crack. As an adolescent, Chiron comes to understand the name mother is not necessarily defined by biology.
You cannot be here tonight. I got company coming. Find somewhere for you to be. Find somewhere for you to be.
All right. Water for me. And a little gin for you. Boy, please. I know wine used to give you that gin, but we ain't doing that up in here, Shouter. You don't think my joke was funny? What's wrong?
Nothing. I'm good.
No. I didn't seem good. And you ain't it. And stop putting your head down in my house. You know my rule. It's all love and all pride in this house. You feel me? I can't hear you. Do you feel me?
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel you.
All right.
It's all love and pride in this house. Amen. Janelle Monáe, who plays Teresa, has been quoted saying, "We all come from some kind of trauma which makes us feel as if we don't belong, as if we're not connected to one another. And so we all have to search for belonging and connection." Well, belonging and connection were central to the words of 2 Isaiah from which our scripture comes this morning. Isaiah was born into a traumatic world, enmeshed in war and injustice and corruption. God's people in Judah had been defeated and carried away to the far country of Babylon. They were living as refugees by the water of Babylon. And so Isaiah's words, which were prophetic, they were also words of comfort and of hope that gave God's people a vision of who they were. They named who they were as sons and daughters of God. "But now, says the Lord, he who created you, he who formed you, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." This vision that Isaiah cast provided hope for those who live in God. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you." Isaiah opened the floodgates for a thirsty world so people could feel the reality of God's grace and God's forgiveness, even though they were living as refugees. God's people, by Isaiah naming them, were given hope in a world that had seemed ready to self-destruct. Well, brothers and sisters, we need to hear those words of hope for ourselves today. There are now and there will be in our future times when we perceive ourselves to be drowning in the troubles of life. There'll be times when it seems as if we're either burning out or dropping out from the pressures of daily existence. But hear the good news. God is with us. God has chosen us. God did not abandon those in exile, and God will not abandon us. The Lord has called us by name. The Lord has chosen us, and we belong to God, and there is nothing we can do about it. Amen? Just as important, my brothers and sisters, we need to hear those same words of hope for others. We talked last week about the number of children who are homeless in America, and last Monday, about 150 people gathered on our front steps for a vigil to remember those youth who have died on the streets in the past year. We're in the process, as Kevin said, of collecting backpacks for just a portion of the 15,000 homeless children and youth who attend school in the LA Unified School District. But beyond homelessness, we have children and youth who may have a place to live, a place to sleep, but they are hopeless. They might have a parent who provides economic but not emotional support. They may be trapped in a cycle of poverty and need not of their own making, and they can't see a way out. Or they may be being bullied, as was the adolescent Chiron in the second act, because they are gay, or lesbian, or bi, or transgender.
Listen, son. If you don't press charges, You can't stop this from happening. Understand?
You won't even know.
Oh, I don't?
No.
You think all this just started, boy?
I ain't no boy.
The hell you ain't. If you were a man, there'll be four other knuckleheads sitting right next to you.
You don't even know.
Listen, son. Listen. I'm not blaming you. I'm not. I know it's hard. Believe me. And I'm not trying to disrespect your struggle.
When there is such pain inflicted by a person onto another, but especially upon someone you thought you loved, the depth of the woundedness, the depth of the trauma knows no bounds. And it is in those times that we are tempted to wonder whether, as Isaiah says, the Lord is with us or not. But as we know intellectually that the Lord is always with us, that God is always present in our lives, we know in our hearts that to be the case, it is equally important for us to ask whether we are among one another or not. Because it's up to us, my brothers and sisters, to create communities in general, and as people of faith here on this corner of Highland and Franklin in particular, a community where the least and the lost among us, especially our young people, who have few places to turn, we need to be about creating a community of hope and welcome and caring for all God's children, without exception. Amen? Because if our young people cannot find hope in their families, if they can't find hope in their schools, and they can't find hope especially in the church, they will turn elsewhere, we know. They will turn elsewhere to less than healthy situations. Trevor Noah is the host of The Daily Show and on Comedy Central. And he describes what it was like growing up in South Africa in his late teens. And he made money by selling bootleg CD in a crime-ridden neighborhood in Johannesburg. And he's written in his book, which I'm only part of the way through, but he says, one of the first things I learned in the hood is that there's a very fine line between civilian and criminal. We like to believe we live in a world of good guys and bad guys, and in the burbs, it's easy to believe this because it's really hard to get to know a career criminal there. But then you go to the hood and you find there's so many shades in between. He writes, in the hood, if you're not a hardcore criminal, crime is in your life in some way or another. It's everyone from the mom buying some food that fell off the back of a truck to feed her family, all the way up to the gang selling military-grade weaponry and hardware. The hood made me realize that crime succeeds because crime does the one thing that government doesn't do. Crime cares. Crime is grassroots. Crime looks for the young kids who need support and a lifting hand. Crime offers internship programs and summer jobs and opportunities for advancement. Crime gets involved in the community. Crime doesn't discriminate. And so I ask you to think with me, what if we substituted the church for crime as Noah describes life in the city? Let me say that again. The church cares. It's grassroots. The church looks for young kids who need support and a lifting hand. The church offers internship programs and summer jobs and opportunities for advancement. The church gets involved in the community. The church doesn't discriminate. That needs to be our goal, brothers and sisters. Amen? That we need to truly be the church, because that's what it means to be the hands and feet of Christ in this broken and hurting world. That's what it means to call one another by name. That's our calling this day, to be able to call one another by name. But returning to the film, it was unfortunately crime and not the church that did care for Chiron, especially in the adult he became in the third act, living the life and living in the memory of Dealer One.
Who is you, man?
Who, me?
Yeah, you. Sandman in front. That car. Who is you, Chiron?
I'm me, man. I ain't trying to be nothing else.
Oh, okay, so you hard now.
I ain't say that.
Well, then what? Hey, I ain't trying to hem you up, man. It's just, I ain't seen you in a minute, and it's not what I expected.
Well, what did you expect?
Remember the last time I saw you?
For a long time, I tried not to remember. I tried to forget all those times.
Yeah.
When we got to Atlanta, I started over, built myself from the ground up, put myself hard. What about you? You,
me? That one never really worked. Just kept on, man. Never really did anything I actually wanted to do. It was all I could do what folks thought I should be doing. I wasn't ever really myself.
And now?
Now? Now, man. Now I got a little Kev. Got this job. Another 18 months probation.
That's some real.
It's a life, you know?
Barry Jenkins didn't get to give his acceptance speech at the Oscars. I'm not really sure why. We all know why. But if he had, this is what he says he would have said. He says, Terrell and I are Chiron. We are that boy. And when you watch Moonlight, you don't assume a boy who grew up how and where we did would grow up and make a piece of art that wins an Academy Award. I've said that a lot, and what I've had to admit is that I placed those limitations on myself. I denied myself that dream. Not you, not anyone else, me. And so to anyone watching this who sees themselves in us, let this be a symbol. A reflection that leads you to love yourself. Because doing so may be the difference between dreaming it all and somehow, through the Academy's grace, realizing dreams you never allowed yourself to have. Well, for us as people of faith, the grace to love ourselves, the grace to realize our dreams, comes not from the Academy, but rather it comes from the love of our Almighty God, who created us all, each of us, in God's good image. And therefore, it's incumbent upon us to live into that grace and that love so that we can indeed reach our potential and that we can help others to do the same. In this last act, we saw Chiron, now called Black, living the life of Juan, selling drugs, but still searching for his true identity, one that he really found and connected with when he reconnected with Kevin all those years later. One that simply wanted to live out his life. and receive love. That's all Chaiwan really wanted. Plain and simple, and it's really what we all want. We want to love, and we want to be loved in return, and to belong and to connect in community. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. Brothers and sisters, in moonlight and in daylight, we belong to one another, and we belong to God. Amen.